It's time to think big with Big Alaska guests, Big Alaska adventures, and no good lying through your tooth, Tall Alaska Tales. It's the Big Alaska Show. Coming to you from a remote cabin in the wilds of Alaska and studios of BigAlaskaShow.com, I'm Uncle Steven from Mike Ford with some Big Alaska Show friends. It's Iditarod time. Director of Education for the Iditarod, Jane Holmes, is back to remind us about the 2022 Iditarod Educators Conference. Also joining Jane is the 2015 Teacher on the Trail and creator of Husky Talk, Aaron Montgomery. Plus, Iditarod CEO Rob Erbach takes us behind the scenes what it takes putting on the Iditarod. Designed to raise your spirits, not your blood pressure, unless you're a guy named Mike Ford. Good morning, everyone. It's the Big Alaska Show. Good morning and welcome to the Big Alaska Show. Uncle Steve here, my good buddy and co-host Mike Ford, cannot be here this morning because he is the broadcast voice for the World Championship Dog Sled Sprint Races they're having for the Fur Rendezvous this morning. But normally he does the openings on our Big Alaska Show and does a much better job than I do. However, today's show is about the Iditarod, and that's all about innovation and being flexible and adjusting to the conditions. So I'm asking you to adjust to the conditions of me doing the opening. But Mike will be back next week when we're doing a live audience Big Alaska Show at the lakefront here in Anchorage, Alaska, for the 2022 Iditarod Educators Conference that they're going to be happening. And to that end, we wanted to cover some of the stuff that's happening at the Educators Conference, so we brought back Jane Holmes. Now, this is an interview we did with her a couple of weeks ago, but we brought it back because she talks about the Educators Conference. In that are the teachers on the trail, and we've got a 2015 teacher on the trail, Aaron Montgomery, and it's a great story because she does a podcast called Husky Talk for her 5th and 6th graders, and you're going to be hearing an interview with her. And we have Rob Erbach, the CEO of the Iditarod, taking us behind the scenes what it really takes to put on the Iditarod and proving what Mike Ford and I have always said, it's more fun to go to someone else's party. But of course, we'd be remiss if we didn't start the Big Alaska Show out the right way. Folks, the key to doing an early morning radio show, especially an early Saturday morning radio show, is a strong cup of coffee. And there's no stronger cup of joe than Big Alaska Show Blend, the intense early morning coffee for intense early morning indigestion. That's why it's preferred coffee for teachers. Teachers have to get up early, earlier than humanly possible. Not only that, they have to get up and think earlier than humanly possible. Enter Big Alaska Show Blend to the rescue. Just one sip of this caffeine-packed pile of dirt sends a jolt of energy that turns the dull brain pan into a synapses-fired supercomputer to prepare teacher plans in no time, and enough energy to put the boot to the backside of the unparented and their parents. Bitter biting with a specific gravity of basalt. Big Alaska Show Blend. The intense early morning coffee for intense early morning gas.
Pour me a cup, it's time to get up and face the world, my friend. Pour me a cup, I can't get enough for that Big Alaska Show Blend.
Get high-performance, all-side triple-pane windows for the price of double-pane with installation from Neighbors Windows and Doors. Plus, take an additional $100 off installation per window on all new orders. Triple-pane glass is warmer in the winter, cooler in the summer, and makes your house quieter year-round. Winter installation is no problem. Our crews are fast, efficient, and safe. To get a fast remote quote, visit neighborswindowsanddoors.com. And thank you for buying local.
And welcome back to the Big Alaska Show. I'm Mike Ford with Uncle Steve. Our show brought to you in part by Neighbors Windows and Doors. They're Alaska's window experts for windows, doors, shower doors, affordable glass replacement. Neighbors Windows and Doors at 6251 Tunnel or online anytime at neighborswindowsanddoors.com.
And welcome back to the Big Alaska Show. Uncle Steve here, good buddy co-host Mike Ford, is broadcasting the World Championship dog sled races for the Fur Rendezvous today. But he will be back. We're getting into the Iditarod. And one of the places we're really focusing on is the education aspect of the Iditarod. And Jane Holmes is the director of education for the Iditarod. And here's an interview we did with her a couple of weeks ago where she's talking about the Educators Conference, which is happening in the first week of March. And so we brought this back because it really lays out what's going on. And then a little later on, we'll have Aaron Montgomery, who's one of the teachers on the trail. And then Rob Urbach is the CEO of the Iditarod, taking us behind the scenes of what's going on. So, without further ado, Jane Holmes. Our guest is the Director of Education for the Iditarod, Jane Holmes. And we had Jane on back in August of 2021, last year, and really took us inside to how much is going on educationally in the Iditarod, and it's a lot. And they picked the perfect person, a teacher. So without further ado, let us give a warm Big Alaska Show welcome back to Jane Holmes.
Oh, thank you for your kind words. You know, all those things I talked about are happening, and we are just like 5 minutes from the next race.
It's showtime, baby.
Yeah, well, yeah. Should have been showtime months ago, I guess.
But you're a teacher. You know, teachers are, they do something the rest of us don't, especially my barbershop chorus. Planning ahead is just not in our field of experience, whereas, you know, you have to do teacher plans, for crying out loud.
Yeah, I'm a very organized person.
Yes, you are. And so what you're telling me before I so rudely interrupted you is all the things you talked about doing, you're actually doing, which is a complete shock to my barbershop chorus.
You know, I have this great team of teachers that works with us, that we work together and have all these different programs going on. So I can tell you, what do you want to know?
First of all, I want to let people know that at BigAlaskaShow.com, there's a podcast with you where you talk a lot about programs and really gives us a broad view of what is available there. So the upcoming Educators Conference, these are educators who want to incorporate teachings of the Iditarod into their classroom.
Yes.
And tell us when that is and what it is, and let's talk about that.
All right. Well, that is very, very exciting. This was annually happening for decades, literally. And then, you know, because of COVID in 2020, it was a little bit different than usually it has been. It was kind of scaled down. And then in 2021, we didn't have it at all. So this is our first in-person educators conference for a couple of years. And it happens the week just prior to the race start. So it's, you know, it's a good experience for folks to not only come to a good conference, but to experience the race and a little bit of Alaska. So it starts Tuesday, March 1st.
What kind of stuff happens in an educators conference?
So it's 4 days, and we've got Tuesday and Thursday, I would say, are more of our content. Those are where we're having our sessions presented by past teachers on the trail, people that work with Iditarod, some educators from Anchorage School District are coming in to present. And so that, you know, that's where you're going to get how to do a lot of different things with your lesson plans and the race, you know, the content for teaching. Really fun, a lot of technology and PE and a lot of movement, kind of some new stuff besides reading and writing. So that's going to be fun. And then Wednesday is our field trip day. And we take a chartered bus from the lakefront to headquarters and watch the vet checks that are happening there. And then we're going to get on the bus and go to this Menard Sports Center. And I have a food truck going to come cater our lunch on that day, which is going to be super yummy and fun. And then we're going to Matt Fahler's kennel in the afternoon for a kennel tour. That's always a treat. He's had us out there before. That's Wednesday. That's kind of a fun day. Now, we want all of our registrations in by February 11th so we can process all of the places and the bus and the, you know, numbers of people for breakfast and stuff.
You're worldwide.
Yes, we have teachers coming from all over the country. We don't have anyone coming internationally this year. And we also have, you know, Alaska teachers coming. And it's anywhere from preschool to, we have a couple of teachers that teach adult life skills, you know, 19 and 20 and 21 year olds. So it's really runs the gamut.
Is this going to be online teaching as well?
Great question. We are working on a Zoom option for those that can't travel here, which would be, I think, focused on Tuesday and Thursday, just the content days. So we are looking into a Zoom option for those 2 days now. And then people who attend those session via Zoom get a recording of it.
This educators conference, the educational outreach that you do, I can almost see Iditarod University. I know this sounds ridiculous.
Well, no, we're working on stuff like that. So, we are launching a new certified educator program at this conference on Friday afternoon. It's an add-on to the conference this time around. And we've designed a program that teachers can go through. It's about 4 months long, and it's got some, you know, online sessions and then some kind of homework. But what it is we feel really strongly that teachers understand why the race was started, who started it, the correct history behind it, current facts and things. And we really want them to feel empowered to do that well. So we've started this little certification program, and they can learn about those kind of things, and they're going to write some lesson plans and read books. And then they get a cool t-shirt with an embroidered logo on it and some other perks, but then they get our stamp of approval. Like, you are an Iditarod certified educator. Feel free to go out in the world and spread the love.
Well, that's awesome. How do people register and sign up for this?
This time around, it is a conference add-on, which means you have to attend the conference to be part of it. However, the link on the website is an interest survey, and you can get information about, we're going to start another program in the fall. So they just need to go to iditarod.com/edu.
That's Jane Holmes, Director of Education for the Iditarod, and talking about the Educators Conference for the 2022 Iditarod. It's where educators learn about the Iditarod, and as Jane Holmes says, spreads the love and educate others. Jane is a former teacher on the trail. At this conference, there will be a number of teachers on the trail. One of them is our next guest, Erin Montgomery. She's the 2015 Iditarod Teacher on the Trail. And Erin has a really interesting program she's put together for her 5th and 6th graders. Here's Erin Montgomery. Our guest, I'm amongst royalty here on the Big Alaska Show. I'm amongst teachers on the trail. And not only that, these are very accomplished teachers on the trail. You know, Jane Holmes is the Director of Education for the Iditarod. We've had her on a couple of times. And she's returned to introduce me to Erin Montgomery, who is the 2015 Teacher on the Trail and creator and producer of a wonderful podcast series for young people. I say for young people, actually, that's not true, because I learned something from it, of all things. My wife was shocked. Let's give Erin Montgomery and Jane Holmes a Big Alaska Show welcome. Erin Montgomery, you're coming from Iowa.
Yes, Iowa. I live just north of the Quad Cities, right on the Mississippi River, one block away from the Mississippi River.
You were the 2015 Teacher on the Trail.
Yes.
And we've had interviews with Jane. We've been talking about the Teacher on the Trail. Actually, we've had them on in the past. But getting to know Jane, I've learned how much more work it is. There's so much work into becoming Teacher on the Trail. You actually have to apply the lessons you're teaching to your students and apply them to yourself.
Yeah, I've told people that applying for Teacher on the Trail was more work than applying to become a teacher. We had to make these huge binders with all the answers to the questions and all the different things proving we use it and so forth. And we had to make 5 of them to send off. And I really wish I would have made a 6th one for myself, because I always want to show people when they ask about how the process. Yeah, it was a lot of time and effort and to go through the process. Yes.
Jane told me she spent almost a year working on hers. Jane can stack BBs. She likes to make sure things are organized. Give us a little bit of a background process of what you went through to become the 2015 Teacher of the Trail.
it probably took me about a year as well. And I had reached out at that time, the current teacher on the trail, who was Linda Fenton. And I had asked her about, well, first of all, I didn't think she'd even get back to me, but now we're really, really good friends. And I had asked her about going to this summer camp that they had and asked if that would be something that would be helpful in the process. And she said, absolutely. And that was probably winter time. And I'd been working on the application. And so I signed up for this summer camp to go learn more about how other people use it in the classroom and just kind of get a firsthand experience. And I'm so glad that I went to the camp because it really did help me learn some more and put it in my, with my application, and also just met some friends that I've still friends with to this day.
What got you interested in becoming a teacher on the trail?
Well, I can't, it's been many years ago since I've been following the Iditarod. But I just, the adventure and being able to bring it back to my students the firsthand. I'm a big experience learning type of person with my students. I like to, we learn the Civil War in my eighth grade class, and I bring Civil War reenactors to my school. I want to bring things back to my kids. So I thought, if I go out there and do this, I can actually bring back firsthand knowledge to my students. I can do videos, and it will help them learn more in the future.
And as a result, you started a podcast, a radio show podcast called Husky Talk. Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, I'm a big runner, and when I run, I listen to podcasts. And I was listening to a podcast. Well, one of my podcasts I listened to, it's called 10 Junk Miles, and they just interview runners. And I was like thinking, God, I wish they had something like this for the Iditarod. You know, you could just listen and talk. And then my mind started spinning, like, we could do it, but I don't want to hear my voice or anything. So I'm like, well, what about my kids? Maybe my kids could do this. So I just started reaching out to my tech people at school and how we could figure out how to make a podcast. And actually the hardest thing is just getting it started. Once you've got once you've got it down, it just starts spitting out everywhere. But I actually had my students come up with the name. We started brainstorming and did things with post-it notes and put different ideas on the board. And I have 6 different classes. So we all came up with ideas and eventually voted down. And I love the name they chose. It's Husky Talk. I think it's perfect.
Yes.
And the kids do everything. They do it all.
What age group?
They're 7th and 8th graders. So like 13, 14, 12, 13, 14 year olds.
Teenagers.
Yeah. Yep.
Awesome. How long has Husky Talk been going?
This is our 5th year, 5th season.
Congratulations. That's really cool. When I've listened to Husky Talk, I go to iditarod.com and I go to the education tab, and there you are. Is that the best way to find Husky Talk?
You can find it anywhere you get podcasts. We're on the Apple, whatever we call it these days, Stitcher. We're on them all. So I guess... whatever. I don't know how they got out to all those, but they're on everything.
I need to contact your students and have them be my consultants, for crying out loud. We've been going through that right now. We're going through Apple Podcasts. We're going through all the things.
That was the hardest, getting on Apple. Yes. We finally got it. And then I start, my one kid came back one day and said, well, I listened to you on, what's the other one? Not Stitcher, but there's another one that starts with an S. And I was like, whoa, okay.
I know there's all these different platforms. That's really, really cool. How do you come up with the topics?
So the kids, we have a class at the end of the school day. It's called WIN, What I Need Now. My class is an extension class. And so my class is Husky Talk, the podcast. And once we get who we're interviewing, the kids then start developing questions. I have a questioning technique lesson that I teach the kids on how to develop compelling questions instead of, how many dogs do you have? Like, we work on developing questions, and rather than asking a question, we work on, like, talk to us about this, so that then it's not just answering one question. We get a bunch of questions answered. So we really work on questioning techniques, and that's just a whole lesson in itself. And they spend a week, depending on how quick we get the interviews lined up, they spend at least a week developing questions. And the toughest part for them is we're really working on having a conversation, but they struggle with that. When somebody asks them a question back, they just turn around and stare at me like, what do we say? Even though they might know the answer. I think Jane asked them a question and they just, it was silence.
You could show them this, how the Big Alaska, see, the good thing about the Big Alaska Show is we're the longest running mistake ridden radio show in Alaska's history. And, you know, we're doing everything wrong. No, this is absolutely, absolutely wonderful. How do your kids like it?
They love it. They really like it. So they get to choose this extension each every like 6 weeks, they get to go somewhere different if they want. And I've had a couple kids that they've stayed the whole entire school year with me to do this, and they really enjoy it. They get super nervous about talking to people because to them, they're extremely famous, but they love it and they love listening to themselves. And
so if I show them a picture of me and say, perhaps you've seen me, perhaps you've heard of me.
Yeah, I was going to ask you if you wanted to be on our show, like try to get us on before I come up to Alaska.
Anytime I can help promote and support whatever you're doing, we love to do it. It's what we do. As an educator, what are some of the educational benefits you've seen for your class through the Iditarod?
Well, I think like for both students and teachers, problem solving is huge. Like, you know, the last 2 years for educators and students, problem solving has been like the number one thing, trying to figure those things out. And I think that for me as a teacher, it's helped me learn how to problem solve as a teacher. And the same with students, you know, they have to critically think. Mushers, we talk about how they have to solve these problems. They're out in the middle of nowhere. They have to feed themselves, their dogs, take care of everything. How are they going to do this? So I think that, in my opinion, is one of the number one things for me, even teaching adults, kids, everything, that problem solving is huge.
You are an awesome teacher, Erin. I was very, very fortunate. My educators, my teachers were my mentors. They were very important in my life. Erin, it's just an absolute pleasure to meet you. Once Jane turned me on to Husky Talk, I started listening to it. You've done a lot. I think it's really cool that you've set this up and the students are taking ownership on it. What a great service it is to our community and to our educational students. So Teacher on the Trail 2015. And so, Erin Montgomery, we're going to be looking for you at the 50th anniversary of the Iditarod. And we look forward to learning more about Husky Talk and promoting Husky Talk. So let's give the Director of Education of the Iditarod, Jane Holmes, and the 2015 Teacher on the Trail, Erin Montgomery, a big Alaska Show thank you and much success.
This is Mike Ferris, president of Alaska Enterprise Solutions. As businesses return to work, field office footprint might be a little different. These days, not all employees need to be in an office, and what used to meet your printing needs probably has changed. With less employees and less printing, are you paying too much? Let us help right-size your printing environment and reduce your printing costs. This is Mike Ferris, Alaska Enterprise Solutions. Visit us at aesalaska.com.
And welcome back to the Big Alaska Show. I'm Mike Ford with Uncle Steve. Our show brought to you in part by Alaska Enterprise Solutions. They're your authorized sales agent for Xerox in Alaska. Call Mike Ferris or visit him anytime at aesalaska.com.
Thanks for joining us on the Big Alaska Show, and thanks to our sponsors, Neighbors Windows and Doors, and Alaska Enterprise Solutions. As we say in the Big Alaska Show, anyone that gives us money, we call friend. And the more money, the better the friend. We were just listening to Erin Montgomery, the 2015 Teacher on the Trail, and she will be at this Educators Conference in Anchorage, Alaska at the lakefront. Up next is our good friend Rob Erbach. He's the CEO of the Iditarod. We first met Rob a couple of years ago, right when the pandemic hit. He was the new CEO, and he walks into a pandemic. In fact, the Iditarod was the last professional sport that had not closed. As Rob pointed out, had it been a week later, it would never have happened. But Rob, along with the Iditarod Nation, navigated through that year and last year, which was completely different. And now he's back in 2022 to give us a little update of what up. Iditarod CEO Rob Erbach. Our guest is the CEO of the Iditarod, Rob Erbach. And Mike, the last time we talked to Rob, I went back and listened to our podcast we did back in late March 2020. The thing I was noticing about the podcast, you and I were hovered down at our own places. Remember they closed us out of the radio station, and we were introduced to a thing called Zoom. Who knew? Gosh. Mike, let's put this a little bit into context. COVID was just coming on. You were the newly appointed CEO of the Iditarod, Rob. We want to encourage everybody to go and listen to this podcast, and we'll post the link at bigalaskashow.com. Not only is it a good milepost of history, but it also talks about your background and why we feel that you're the perfect fit. Let's face it, if people knew COVID was coming else, who would be crazy enough to take the job?
That's exactly right.
As you pointed out, Rob, had it been a week later, we would not have had the Mushers Banquet. And you were having to keep a step ahead the whole thing. And then last year, you had to design a new route and new rules. And now it's 2022. We're looking at a 50th anniversary. Without further ado, let's give a warm Big Alaska Show welcome to Rob Urbach. And so welcome to the Big Alaska Show, buddy. And this is the 50th anniversary of the Iditarod. First of all, when is the 2022 Iditarod?
So this starts off on Saturday, March 5th, with our back to our ceremony start in Anchorage, which we unfortunately had to cancel last year. The Mushers Banquet's been re-engineered to the 50th Gala, which is that Thursday on March 3rd. So it's a little bit of deja vu, right? So you're right. In 2020, we were just learning about this new virus. There was very little information. It had just started to come into the U.S. and then slowly creeping into Alaska. And at that point, you know, there were some conversations after we had already started. Should we cancel it? I was offered on the phone with Dr. Ann Zeke, at one point the governor, asking us to cancel the race when we were strewn out through rural Alaska with dog teams spread from, you know, from McGrath to Unalakleet. So that's a pretty difficult dynamic. We fortunately were pretty anticipatory and proactive and strategic in advance of even 20 in trying to learn what our contingency should be to protect our communities and our people. And I think we were fortunately pretty lucky. We were successful in doing that. And then ever since that race was over, you know, when I got back in 20, and I think, you know, towards the end of that March and had been gone for about 3 weeks, you know, I came back to the world where there was no toilet paper on the shelves. And the world had changed and everything was shut down. And there was pandemonium for the pandemic. But we started to plan for 21 right then and there. And we spent a lot of time. We brought on a epidemiologist, the COVID czar, to see, could we actually put our race on in 21 when we really thought COVID would dissipate? Mm-hmm. It didn't. Yeah. And, you know, most major events, almost no sled dog races ran in last winter. So we had to not only just rearrange the course, but re-engineer how we eat, sleep, fly. You know, the Iditarod, the, you know, challenges and the Iditarod are synonymous. And COVID certainly brought on a whole new layer.
Yeah.
So our plan, we put about a 30-page plan together for COVID prevention with the goal of zero community transmission. We realized some of the vulnerabilities and sensitivities of rural Alaska. And so we were pretty diligent in terms of what our plan was last year in 21. And so for this year, it is the 50th. And I wish I could tell you that I only get up in the morning and have a cup of coffee, which, you know, for the record is shade grown, consciously grown Sumatran. And then I have 2 cups of Iditarod, but I will confess I have 3 cups of COVID. So that's the morning routine.
Oh my gosh.
And would like to cut off that COVID habit, but unfortunately it's necessary. What that means is that if you look at the trajectory of the virus, the new variant, and the level of contagency, and we are still committed to zero community transmission. We know we have a virus that has mutated. It's more contagious than ever. And so we're putting together protocols. In a normal year, because of the sleep deprivation, the cumulative stress, the communal living, sleeping, camping, winter camping, there can time to time be a little bit of code that gets passed around called Iditarod. And last year, because we're so hygienic, we went from communal leaning to box meals, and, you know, we quarantine everyone on the lakefront. Remember, they had a quarantine in place when you came to the state last year. Mm-hmm. So we basically put people inside their own bubbles. If they left their hotel room, we shot them. because we want to make PETA greater fans. No, I'm obviously joking.
we'll throw PETA in here all throughout this thing. Ford, we should have done one of our Alaska ad nauseum advertising radio commercials voiced by Rob Urbach about endorsing PETA.
But they make such great bread, don't they?
Absolutely. Right. So, we were pretty diligent last year.
Absolutely.
To the letter of the recommendation in terms of quarantining and separation. And we didn't eat meals in the restaurant. And we were really, really diligent. And we were successful at doing that. This year, we are spending a lot of resources and time. We just released our plan. Our board passed a mandate that everybody participating in the Iditarod needs to be vaccinated. And that's not a political statement. We probably couldn't get to Nome without it. The communities along the trail, we travel the trail at the pleasure of the communities with their blessings, with their support. And, we all know that in rural Alaska, there are certainly some underserved areas, et cetera, and some heightened sensitivities and some vulnerabilities. So we know it's more than just vaccinations, and all the new data is that points to, it's not going to stop necessarily people from getting COVID, but it'll certainly lower the duration, lower the amount of virus that are shed. So we're certainly not, again, people accused us of taking political sides.
Just so people know, first of all, going back to the rural Alaska, the Iditarod is founded in the fact there was a diphtheria outbreak and the serum that was brought to Nome by mushers saved it. And so the rural areas are very susceptible to disease, and because they live in such close proximity to each other, they can easily be wiped out by some disease. You guys were extremely careful with our rural communities. And this year, the COVID policy that you guys have adopted for 2022, it's 25 pages long. I went through that. You and your team worked really hard on that to keep the Iditarod safe.
Yeah, I know. I appreciate that. And a lot of, DHSS, and we have a lot of advice and counsel. We listened to all these communities, listened to the public health authorities, and listened to even those that had different opinions and different views. And so we try to be as comprehensive. It's probably not perfect. So we're continually learning as more data comes in every day. There are all sorts of nuances to it. There are people that will say, I had my first shot, had a major reaction. So my doctor said I shouldn't get a second shot. I still volunteer. I have natural immunity. I can't get a vaccine because I just had COVID recently. So there's all sorts of dynamics that we're involved with. We want to make this race, first and foremost, the North Star is safety, of course, exemplary dog care, but safety on the human side is really safety to our villages. I really think that the goal is that if you're in our ecosystem, if you're in our bubble on the trail, we want that to be the safest place you can be from COVID outside of being totally in isolation at your home. Yep. So if you're away from your family, you might be even safer. If you're away from your kids, you might be even safer. So that's really what our standards are. And therefore, to get there, there's so much pre-race testing. There's a whole protocol of testing, and there's a protocol to really start to isolate 2 weeks even prior to the Iditarod, which is really important. And we got people that are traveling in and flying, so we can't totally make this 100% riskless, but I think we've done what we can to minimize risk and drive that risk as close to zero as we can.
How is the attendance for the competitors this year? How does it fare to other years?
Yeah, I mean, we're comparable to what we were in 20. Some of the issues that happened is, like, the 2020 champion, Thomas Warner, desperately wanted to race, but as COVID continued to climb and climb and climb, it became clear it was just too hard for the Europeans to travel with their dogs. There are new rules and regulations. It's almost difficult for visas and difficult to fly your 16 or 20 dogs over here. The supply chains have been disrupted for musher supplies.
Oh my gosh.
So it's put a huge increase in cost into our system and very difficult dynamic. So you know, we probably, you know, lost 5 or 10 mushers, I would say, at least due to COVID, but we still have a very robust field. We'll be in the mid-50s, which we've got plenty of high-end competitors and plenty of rookies that are really a mission of life for that transformative journey for that belt buckle.
Ford, the one thing I really noticed, it seems all these competitors look really young to me, but I noticed a lot of women. For some reason, I seem to notice there are more women this year than I'd noticed before. Maybe it's because it's been 2 years and COVID has erased everything in my memory, Rob. But it seemed like a lot of women are competing. Is that the case, or is this sort of a like 2020?
It looks like we're going to be close to 30% or so women, which is up. We should check and check to see if that is a record. There is a lot of women, a lot of women rookies. So we've got some really new energy, a new generation of mushers coming into the field that, you know, we're super excited about. And I know someone like Aaron Burmeister is going to try to challenge, you know, Dallas for the win. And for sure. And you know, Brent Sass is going to be off the front, most likely. Mm-hmm. Mitch, you know, you don't count Mitch out. You know, he's 61-ish or so, but you remember Mitch was second 2 years ago, and he's got some of those dogs back. So he's racing to win. You know, yours won. Pete Kaiser has won this race. That there's a Norwegian, Hannah Lyric, who has won a bunch of big races in Norway here. She's been training super, super well. She's in her 20s. Yeah, we've got a really great field, and I think it'll be a really exciting race. And you know, one thing, if you remember the 20 race, how crazy the weather was and the storms. And we had 3 helicopter rescues in 20 as well. And we had these crazy storms both at the start of the race. And then towards the end of the race, we had the Elam 11 who got stuck for 48 hours. And yes. Martin got caught in that group in the back. And Martin was running a puppy team that year. Mm-hmm. So, you know, probably didn't expect him to be up in the front. But you know, that group tried to lead Elam twice and got beaten back in the storms. Mm-hmm. Then you had 3 of them, Matthew Fowler and Thomas Nolmeyer and Sean Underwood, stuck out there and at night got caught in the underflow and got their sleds where they couldn't get it out of the icy slush and had to push their SOS buttons, which scrambles the Blackhawk.
I remember that now. Wow. I remember. And I remember it was horrible weather. You guys got snow, man. I mean,
yeah. I got grounded a couple of times on the trail and trying to get different places. And we had volunteers stuck for 3 days in White Mountain and, you know, just pounding snow and winds and all the fun stuff, which makes the Iditarod.
Great. Now that we're getting into the thick of the Iditarod, we'll be posting more interviews with Rob Urbach. Also, we'll post links to the previous shows we've done with him. As we said earlier in the interview, it's really interesting to go back and listen to those because you get a real sense of what was going on at the time, but you also get to know more about who Rob Urbach is and his background. And coming in at such a challenging time. And in spite of that, Rob and the Iditarod Nation have risen to the challenge and have really moved the Iditarod forward on so many fronts. And we'll be hearing more about that in coming shows. So, that's our show. And what did we learn? We learned what a special group the Iditarod Nation is, especially our educators. What a fantastic group of people and what a fantastic service they provide. You know, teachers deserve the applause now instead of much later. And we've learned the spirit of Alaskans in very challenging times. That's what the Big Alaska Show is all about. And to my baby girl, love you, and Mike Ford, why don't you take us out as you so eloquently do?
All right, Uncle Steve, we want to thank you for listening, and we want to thank our sponsors, Neighbors Windows and Doors, Alaska's window experts at 6251 Tuttle, or online anytime at neighborswindowsanddoors.com, and Alaska Enterprise Solutions. They're your authorized Xerox sales agent for Alaska. Visit them anytime at aesalaska.com. Remember, if it's Big Alaska Guests, Big Alaska Adventures, and no good lying through your tooth, all Alaska Tales, it's gotta be the Big Alaska Show. Have a great week, everybody.